Take your Bible, turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. This is not a Sunday night kind of a message. To be honest with you, this is the kind of message you would preach to a group of teenagers after they just come back from church camp or from a youth rally. And so when I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to preach, I preached a different message this morning in Lima, and I was thinking about preaching that tonight, and the Lord just kind of just was placing this one on my heart. And so I was like, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to preach, I got to thinking about, you know, we've just come from off of the Hoosier Hospitality meeting, and we heard some awesome preaching in that meeting. And I heard there were some things that challenged my heart. There were some decisions that I made. I know our teenagers just came back from youth rally, and no doubt you heard some awesome preaching there, and some decisions were made on your part. And then, of course, we're getting ready to finish. I can't believe it. We're getting ready to finish the first quarter of 2021, and we are now 3 months removed from all those great New Year's resolutions that we have all made, and probably all have quit. Amen. But you know what? There's we make a lot of decisions in life. And all of us make decisions, and oftentimes we make good spiritual decisions, and then, you know, the challenge isn't making the decisions, the challenge is keeping those decisions. And so, if you would stand with me, if you're in your place in Jonah chapter 3, we are going to read a few verses here, we're going to pray, we're going to get right into the message here. I will not be very long tonight, all right? I don't know how long I'll be, because I don't want to give you a time, because I, quite frankly, I'm too young to tell you how long I'm going to preach, all right? So, I know preachers, they get up and they're like, I'm going to preach 35 minutes and they're done. And I'm like, I don't know how they know exactly how to do that. They must cut it off somewhere. But amen. All right, Jonah chapter number 3. Let's start in verse number, let's go back here, back up here. We'll read the whole chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And then he makes this statement, and this is where our text is going to come from tonight. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And watch this. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. The title of the message tonight is, God is looking for you to get serious. God is looking for you to get serious. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that I get to preach from your word, Lord, and just behind a man of God's pulpit. God, I never take that lightly. And God, I know that you know my heart, Lord. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. Father, many of the folks here tonight have labored and worked for you all day, Lord, and they're tired, and they need a challenge and encouragement from your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come down. I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind. I pray that you'd fill me. I pray that you'd move among this place. Help us to be helped by the word of God tonight. In your precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In all of our lives, we make decisions. Most of us have already made quite a few decisions today. We made a decision to get up. We made a decision to what we were going to wear. We made a decision of what we were going to have for breakfast. I made a terrible decision of having a cup of coffee that was this big. But we all make decisions. You make a decision on what your attitude's going to be like for the day. And you know what? If you have children, you know that just sometimes they wake up and you're like, why are you such a grouch? Like, what caused that? But you know what? Oftentimes we do that same thing. We make decisions. All of us make decisions. And too often, hello again. All right, amen. Too often, I think that is where we stop spiritually. Good thing we don't do the pizza thing here. All right, amen. We make decisions, and we make decisions at camp. We make decisions at great church conferences. We make decisions at youth conference. We make decisions at school. We make decisions in youth group, church services, all of these things. We make decisions all the time, don't we? I don't know how many decisions I've made for Christ in my life. I don't know, hundreds, thousands, you know, little decisions, big decisions, whatever I want to call them. And there's lots of times where we come to an altar, we hear great preaching like we heard last weekend, and we hear all those men of God come in every single night, and they preach, and they preach, and they preach, and the Lord just starts to work on your heart, doesn't he? And it's amazing what the Lord does, and that's why I love those meetings. It's amazing what if you'll just sit night after night after night and preaching what God will do to your heart. And God blessed me, and God challenged me, and there were some great, great things that we learned in that meeting. But you know what? How many times do we just throw these decisions to the side? How many times do they just get kicked to the curb? And folks, we see something here in Jonah chapter 3 that I believe is a great pattern for a Christian in helping you to move from making decisions to action, on acting upon those decisions, to keeping those decisions. And God is pleased when we make the decision, but God will only bless when we move to action. If you'll see what happens here in our text, that Jonah, of course, we know the story. Jonah has been told by God to go into Nineveh and preach, but Jonah won't do it. And Jonah runs from God, and God sends the whale, and the whale comes and swallows up Jonah, and Jonah repents, and Jonah says, God, I'll do it if you'll spare my life, and God, salvation is of the Lord, and God forgives him, and God casts Jonah back up on dry land. And in chapter number 3, the word of the Lord comes again the second time to Jonah and says, all right, Jonah, you didn't get it the first time. Here it is the second time. Go into Nineveh and preach. Nineveh was a large city. The Bible said it took 3 days' journey to walk across Nineveh. I don't know how fast Jonah walked, but that was a pretty big city. The Bible said he went 1 day's journey into the city and he started to preach and he started to proclaim and he started to say, yet in 40 days the city shall be overthrown. And the Bible says in verse number 5, the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And we see the king gets involved, and he hears about this, and he makes a decree, and he gets in sackcloth and ashes, and he says, listen, we are going to do this. And the king says in verse number 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And then we see God's response. And God saw what? Their works. That who? That they turned from their evil way. And then watch what God did. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. You know what, folks? You know what God was watching for? He was watching for Nineveh's response to the message. He wasn't watching for the decision on the first day when the people said, okay, we got to get serious about this. No, God was watching for how they reacted. And as soon as God saw that they were serious, then God stayed that the coming judgment. God was watching for Nineveh to move from a decision to an action. And you know what? God only repented of the evil that he was going to do after they turned to him. He saw their works, and then he spared them. Folks, if you go through your Bible, you'll see this over and over and over again. David made a decision to fight Goliath, but he had to pick up the 5 stones and fight. He had to move that decision from a statement, from a proclamation, to an action. Gideon believed God, but he still had to have the faith and the strength and the courage to gather 300 men and go up there and play the trumpets and hold up the pitch. He still had to have the action behind his decision. And so we see this pattern over and over again in the Word of God, that God is looking for us to get serious. Joseph had a dream, but Joseph had to trust God along the way. The disciples made a decision to follow Jesus, but they had to choose to leave the boats. They had to choose to give up their livelihood of being fishers to become fishers of men. You know what? And I feel that oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this so many times in my life. I hear a great message. I go to the altar. I make a spiritual decision, a decision that I mean to keep. But then I never move it to an action. And I don't know. I wish I had kept a log of how many decisions that I've made for God that I haven't kept. I used to go to a church camp down in Buckeye, Kentucky, Circle C Baptist Ranch, and Brother Dave Smith would give out these little blocks, and he'd let people write decisions on their decisions they made at camp at the end of the week. And some things they'd throw into the fire, they'd get rid of, and some of those things, you know, they would keep. And he tells stories of preachers that still have those decisions on their mantles. And you know what? Honestly, the concept is cool. It because you're allowed to, you know, get a block and write a decision down that you made, and it helps you remember it. And maybe what I do this sometimes, I'll hear a great message and I'll write something down in my Bible, and then I can go back to that. But you know what? Listen, honestly, the decision is important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is moving from making a decision to an action. Young people, youth rally won't do you any good if all you did was make a bunch of decisions and you never carry them out. Folks, listen, everything that they preached last week in the Hoosier Hospitality meeting, it will do you no good if all you did was make decisions and then you never move it into action. So I'm going to give us a few short things tonight to how to move from a decision, any decision, to an action. And I just want to help us real quick from the Word of God. If you listen fast, I'll preach fast, okay? All right, amen. Number one, how to move from a decision to action. Number one, dream big. Number one, dream big. Proverbs 29, verse number 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." No dream has ever been accomplished without action, but folks, you can't act upon something you haven't decided to do. And you know what? The first step in keeping decisions is making decisions. And you know what? When you're in church and you're listening and the Word of God starts pricking your heart and the Holy Spirit starts convicting you, the first thing that you need to do is go to the altar and make a decision. Or when you're reading your Bible alone at your house and God lays something on your heart, you need to just make a decision right there that I'm going to do it. And we can't, you can never live out your Christian life if you're not making decisions. Does that make sense? You have to decide first. And I fear that's where so many times I know I've in my own personal life, I've been sitting there and a great message was preached and I never responded and I never made a decision and I regret that. And how many times do we hear a message preached and hear a man of God get up and open the Bible and pour his heart out and the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and we don't go forward and make the decision? Because folks, you'll never move it to an action if you don't even make it in the first place. Number two, how do we move from a decision to an action? We determine to get there. We determine to get there. We just heard a great series on the Hall of Faith, the Hebrews 11, the Faith Walker series. What an incredible messages that we've heard there. But verse number 13 of Hebrews 11 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." It goes on to say that they were looking for a country that was prepared for them by God, which was heaven. They had adversity, they had obstacles and trials, but they were determined to get to where God wanted to be. Folks, listen, you say, "Brother Young, I've got a decision that I made last week. I've got something that I believe God wants me to do." All right, well, the second key, I think, to making that into an action is you have to determine that you're going to do whatever it takes to get there. That means if I have to give up a few things to keep my decision, I will. That means if I have to make some extra commitments, some extra sacrifices to make that financial commitment that I made to God, I will do it. That means it doesn't really matter. That means if there's something that I know is either hindering me or something that I need to do better to fulfill that action, I have to determine that no matter what, I'm going to get there. Folks, do you realize the people in Hebrews 11, the ones that they were talking about in that verse, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. They were looking for a city that wasn't on this earth. They were looking for heaven and they never saw it till the day that they died. But they were determined that they would get there. Folks, how many times you say, "Brother Young, I've been trying to live for God. I've been trying to do right. I've been trying to carry out my decisions. And it just doesn't seem like I'm getting to where I want to be." Well, hey, just keep determining that you're going to get there. And don't stop with those decisions that God's given you. I don't care if you're a teenager or an adult. Don't stop on those decisions. Don't quit on those decisions. Just determine that you are going to get there. You say, Brother Young, I have a goal to lead this many people to Christ this year, and I don't think that's a wrong thing to do. You say, but I'm not very close. I'm not close right now. I'm not on pace. Okay, we'll determine to get there. You might have to catch up a little bit. You say, well, I have a goal to knock on this many doors and to finish my mission field, but I'm kind of behind. I've fallen behind these first 3 months. Okay, well, determine to get there. You say, well, I've got a goal to read my Bible, and I had a goal to read my Bible through in a year, and now it's March, and I haven't. I missed a few days, and you know, I don't know that I'll make it to the end. Well, listen, it is only March. All right, you have opportunity to go back and to make up some time and to spend some extra time in prayer. I think we all, if we really were honest, we all have a few minutes every single day to spend extra time in prayer and Bible reading. We do, if we want to make the time. So folks, listen, part of getting there is determining that, listen, no matter what it takes, I'm going to live out these decisions. Number three. Number one, dream big. Number two, determine to get there. Number three, draw from men of God. Draw from men of God. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know what? One of the greatest things that's helped me in my life, and I'm not pretending to know a lot, but one of the greatest things that's helped me in my life is when I need help, I am not afraid to ask for it. And I guess sometimes, unless it's about asking directions or something like that. But as far as spiritual wisdom goes, you know, there's been a lot of times in my life where I'm just on the phone with my dad saying, hey, Dad, this is what's going on. I need your help. And oftentimes it's because I'm about to make a decision that I know maybe I shouldn't make. And so I just want to get a second opinion. And then usually he's like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. But listen, I need spiritual men in my life, godly men that I can draw from and just say, hey, what do you think about this? Because on my own, I'm going to do some really dumb things. And I have, amen? And all of us have done, all of us have made some decisions that we've lived out on their own, haven't we? And you know what you do? It fails. And you're like, why did that fail? Maybe it's because you didn't draw from godly counselors. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes, decisions are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know, say, Brother Young, I made a decision at the camp meeting, all right? Well, then, you know what? If you need help with that decision, why don't you just call pastor, text pastor sometime and say, hey, pastor, I made a decision at the meeting, and God really put this on my heart, but I need your help. You know, and I guarantee you, he'll come up with a plan, and he'll meet with you, and he'll help you. Draw from men of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, Paul tells Timothy to commit the things that he learned from Paul to other faithful men. There is no such thing as a self-made man. And if you ever meet someone who claims to be, then you can usually tell it by how pathetic they are. I've met some self-made men in my life. You know, nobody made me. I'm a self-made man. I'm like, yeah, I can tell. All right? Listen, James Young's not a self-made man. I'm a product of a godly dad, a godly pastor, a godly youth pastor, a godly layman. I'm a product of a godly lineage, people that loved me, people that cared about me, people that invested in me, and I'm not ashamed of that. And you know what? What I preach isn't something that I just conjured up. It's just things that I've heard over and over again my whole life. I like what Brother Reiser said when he came here the other night. He said, folks, when I went to start White River Baptist Church, I didn't do anything different. It's just Blessed Old Baptist Church. I just changed the name, and I was just there. A couple months ago, and it's true. I mean, the service runs similar. Just the style of everything just runs, you know, just runs the same. And folks, listen. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. All right, I just need to look back and follow the godly influences on my life, and then I need to call them and say, hey, what do you think about this? If God calls you to make a decision, it would be wise to talk to somebody about it. Because you know what? Oftentimes they'll give you your pastor, you know, teenagers, your youth pastor even, your parents, especially teenagers. They'll give you godly insight to help you fulfill that decision. But you know what? Adults, we need that too, all right? I'm speaking especially to young men, okay? Young, married, 20-somethings, 30-somethings that, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to think that we know everything and we don't. And that's just me being honest. Number four, how do we move from a decision to an action? Drink from this water. John chapter 4, verse number 14 says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus is the living water. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no substitute for keeping Bible decisions than by living and sticking to the Word of God, and by drawing from its wisdom. Folks, we have to be in the Bible. I don't know why preachers say that so much. It used to confuse me as a teenager. I'm like, why do preachers say, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible? And now I'm a preacher and I say, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Because it's just, I mean, it's as simple as that. I honestly believe that if we would just read the Bible and live by it, it would solve most of our problems. We wouldn't need all the self-help books, and we wouldn't need all the, you know, little seminars and you know, young mom blogs for how to raise your kids and all this crazy stuff that they have out. We wouldn't need all that if we would just simply draw from the living water, the Word of God. And you say, Brother Young, I've got a decision and I want to move it to an action. Okay, well, you better get into the book and you better stay in the book, because honestly, I've known a lot of Christians who do a lot of things wrong, but I've never known a Christian who's successful in living for the Lord that is not a student of this book. I never known a preacher that had any ministry of any success that was not a student of this book. I've never known a bus captain that lasted that was not a student of this book. I've never known a godly layman that stayed faithful for years and years and years and years that you didn't see a love for this Bible. Folks, we have to drink from the Bible. We have to drink from the living water, the well that will never run dry. The Lamentation says that it's new every morning. And God has something for you every day. Folks, let's stay in the Bible. Number five, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, look, God does not deal in small decisions. And I think sometimes we make the mistake of, well, that was just a small decision. It just wasn't really that important. I mean, you know, I decided that I was going to read my Bible through this year, Brother Young. But, you know, honestly, if I don't keep that, you know, God understands my heart. And if I just do less than I already decided to do, that's fine. And what we do is we justify it, don't we? But folks, listen, God never called you to make small decisions. I don't believe there is a small decision, because every decision is either drawing you closer to Christ or it's pushing you farther away. No matter how small it may be. You say, well, Brother Young, I made a decision to witness to this many people and I failed. Okay, well, listen, don't quit on it. Don't quit on it. Keep going. Quitting is killing Christians, because we make decisions and then we just, you know, after a while it just kind of fades away, and then we kind of justify why it fades away and we just stop. Look, God doesn't deal in small decisions. Paul's attitude was, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what that word press means? It's a push. It's a desire. Paul says, listen, I am pressing toward the mark. And you know what? In our life, in our decisions, are you pressing toward the mark? Are you deciding, listen, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stay faithful until it's accomplished. Number six, don't make excuses. This goes hand in hand. Don't make excuses. I'm going to give you two. Then we're almost done. Two excuses we make for not keeping decisions. Number one, I made an emotional decision. I made an emotional decision. I get so sick of hearing this excuse. I get so sick of giving this excuse. I mean, as a teenager, I can't tell you, oh yeah, well, that was an emotional decision, you know, and you just fire that really spiritual answer at your youth pastor, you know, and you're like, well, Brother Young, that was an emotional decision. And I had a good man, a godly man. I love him. I pray for him. A great guy. You'd never know who he was. But, you know, God called him to preach. He's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. I mean, loves the Lord, goes to church, is faithful. But God called him to preach. And I think that means a lot more than being a layman in a pew. Because he knows, and he told me, he said, God called me to pastor. And I said, okay, but he's not doing it. And I love him. I love him. But you know what he says now when I talk to him about it? I say, hey, when are you going into the ministry? He says, well, that was kind of an emotional decision I made a few years ago, and I'm really doing what God wants me to do now. And I said, brother, either you're called or you're not. And it wasn't, I love the guy. and I pray for him, and I hope that if God called him, I hope he goes. And if God didn't call him, I don't want him in the ministry. Please help me. I want you to understand my heart there. But folks, listen. We hear that phrase, I made an emotional decision. Friend, if you can get saved and it's not a little bit emotional, there's a problem with that. If the preacher can preach a message and convict you, and you come down and you surrender and give everything to God, and there's nothing emotional about that, then there's a problem with that decision. Listen, the day that I got saved, that was an emotional day. The day that I surrendered to preach, that was an emotional day. The day that I got married, that was an emotional day. But I'm glad that I don't quit on it just because some days the emotional part of it isn't there. Because I made the decision, I'm going to do everything in my power to live out the action. And folks, a lot of times we just justify it. We say, well, it was an emotional decision I made a few years ago, preacher. I didn't really know what I was doing. Well, you may not know what you're doing, but if God called you to do it, friend, then do it. Do it. Amen. You know what? Listen, what about I will do it when I'm older, young people? I'll do it when I'm older. Young people, you can live for God today. You can live for God today. I'll tell you, I'll give $100 in cash. My wife will give it to you, or Brother Chad, or somebody will give it to you. I'll give $100 to the person who can stand up and tell me what the minimum age you have to be to serve God is. I love this one because I never have had an answer yet, all right? I can't do that for every question. But you know what? God wants you to serve Him today. He doesn't want you to wait till you're older, teenagers. Kids, He doesn't want you to wait till you're older. He wants you to serve Him now. And you know what? A lot of times we even, as a new convert, maybe you're in here and you've only been saved for 1 or 2 years, and God pricks your heart to make a decision that you think is a big decision, like living for Him full time, or like saying, I want to surrender everything that I have to Jesus Christ, or like I believe God wants me to go into the ministry, or God wants me to be a missionary. And for a new convert, that's a big decision. But let me challenge you. You say, well, I don't know everything that I need to know. But if God laid it on your heart, friend, and God's calling you to do it, don't wait till you're an older, more mature Christian. You need to start getting a plan for doing it now. And part of that goes to back to going and meeting with your pastor and say, Pastor, I made a decision. I need your help. And He's going to help you. Folks, listen, it's a very simple message. It's not complicated. I don't feel like it's a message that honestly a lot of people in here need, because I know this is a great church and I know that you love the Lord and I know that you have a desire to see souls saved. But folks, let me challenge us. We've all made decisions this year. How well are we doing on living them out? And just go back and look through your decisions and say, how well am I doing on living them out? Hey, listen, what point number 7, don't quit. Point number 8, don't quit. Point number 9, don't quit. Listen, make decisions. That's the first thing. But then just determine that no matter what, I'm going to get there. And then understand that I need help, number 1, from the Word of God, which is the most important thing, but also from godly leaders. Ladies, you need help from other godly ladies. Men, we need help from other godly men. And then we draw wisdom from this world, and we don't quit, and we just don't make excuses for why we can't. Listen, do we serve a God that can or don't we? He either can or He can't. He's either God or He's not. He's either able or He's not. And I'm glad He's able. I'm glad He's faithful. I'm glad that even like Jonah, sometimes when I don't do exactly what God says for me to do, that God will still pick me up and He'll still use me. Because as we started the text here, we saw Jonah. God says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He said, okay, you didn't get it the first time, and you needed to be knocked around a little bit. You didn't make the decision. You failed. But you know what? God is not slack concerning His promise. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins. And He is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, listen, you say, Brother Young, I have failed in my decision making. Okay, well then decide that you're not going to fail, and then keep that decision, and then go to God and say, God, I'm so sorry for failing in my Bible reading. I'm so sorry for failing in my soul winning. I'm so sorry for failing in whatever area that I decided to do, and I'm not doing it. And you know what, God, I'm sorry. And I can't tell you how many times I've been there in my life. But you know what I've always found? God is always willing to say, I forgive you and I'll use you. You say, Brother Young, I've quit on a few things. All right, well, listen, just get back up again. Start making decisions for Him. And then, Christian, listen, if you have some decisions you just made this past week, start praying about to the Lord and just asking him. Just say, God, how do you want me to live them out? Folks, listen, we need Christians who are serious. That's what we need. We need Christians who are living out the Word of God and not just deciding. I love that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. But you know what? It gets a lot more real when you get to the next verse and it says, though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. You know what? It's a lot more difficult to say, though none go with me, still I will follow, than it is to sing the first verse, because the first verse is easy. I've decided to follow Jesus, but wait a minute, nobody else is going with me. All right, that's when it gets real. You know what? Let's move from decision to action. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, you know my heart. God, I wasn't trying to beat anybody over the head over decisions that they made that they haven't kept. Lord, you know that I have so much work to do in that area. But God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, not just to decide to do things for you, but then to move into action, but then to just live out our faith and just be the kind of Christians you want us to be. Lord, many decisions have been made this year. I pray that we'll just look in your word and lean on you and lean on godly counsel to help us carry those things out. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this place. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts now in your precious name. Amen.